Down your baby and pick up a beer. Dad Jokes is back with a brand new episode. I'm Jerry, joined here by Brandon. You're listening to the podcast of two first-time dads going through the journey of fatherhood with all of you listening as we do it. And Brandon, we're both fathers of one-year-olds now. And this week we got kind of a controversial topic, a topic that we've talked about for a while now, kind of avoided it, at least talking about it in detail. I know, right? I like that. But we've kind of avoided going full in, and then we had a couple of our listeners mention something about it to us, and we've decided to go ahead. And so basically what we're going to talk about today is sleep training, which is a taboo topic at times. You have some people that are very, very for it, and you have some people that if you mention it think you're the devil, and we'll go into kind of what we
what do they think
they think you're the devil or you think you're bad. I don't know. The point is we're going to go into, we're not going to tell people what they should do or shouldn't do. We're going to tell them kind of our own journeys and how we came to the decisions we came to. The nice thing about this, I think, Brandon, is that we're kind of on opposite sides in what we've decided to do and why, so that's kind of nice. But neither one of us is hard judging the other person, so I think that it can be a healthy conversation. We can tell you kind of some of the thoughts out there, some of the practices out there, and I think it'll be a good topic. But it is one that, you know, if you're super super against it, maybe this isn't the episode for you. If you're super super for it, you know, don't be offended about some points that people are against it. It's just a conversation. It's something that
either way, listen, you're gonna get both perspectives. You're gonna let's not freak out.
It's gonna be good.
You're gonna be fine.
It's gonna be fun. But speaking of fun, Brandon, we got dad jokes. It's the Dad Jokes podcast. So why don't you know? I'll hit you with a dad joke because mine's kind of topical today. If you're good with that,
okay.
You ready for that?
Waiting with bated breath. Absolutely.
Okay, so Brandon, you know why I decided I'm not gonna watch the World Cup this year? You know why?
Because the U.S. sucks?
Well, I don't want to say sucks, but, you know, basically I decided that if I wanted to see a bunch of guys struggle to score for 90 minutes, I'd just go to my local bar.
I actually think I've heard a version of that before. Not on this podcast, though. So
yes.
And I'm confident that you haven't said my joke. Actually, I shouldn't say that. But it came from Kelsey, which is normally safe.
That's normally safe. But, yeah, actually, speaking of the World Cup, I have watched a decent amount of the World Cup, although the U.S. did lose, so that was disappointing. But if we're going to mention sports really quickly, our Michigan Wolverines are in the playoffs, so we'll be happy about that. Exactly. We'll be happy about that, although another team made it that I'm not so thrilled about. But hopefully that doesn't matter.
They should have made it.
Hopefully that doesn't matter. I'm not gonna. That's a different argument. But nonetheless, Brandon, what's been going on with you this last week? I feel like a lot has happened in my household. So what's happened in your household?
I feel like less has happened in my household. So I always think I'm going to be quick, and then I listen back and I talk for like 5 minutes about my week. But hopefully this will be a little quicker. Bryce actually today, this morning, had his 15-month appointment. His next one's at 18 months, so they're spacing out a lot more now. He's still staying pretty steady from his head's coming in like the 25-30% range. His weight's right around the 50-75 range. His height's in I think technically he was 88th percentile, so that dropped down from the 99th percentile. One thing, though, that I will say, and I don't know if you get like this, Jerry. I always said I don't care about the percentiles and stuff like that, and I actually don't. But what I do care about is when I'm watching them measure my kid, I want every freaking like centimeter and inch that you possibly
Yeah, you want it to be accurate,
get.
Right.
They measured him at like 32.5 inches. I legitimately feel like they missed an entire inch. Like, his head wasn't quite where they said it was. And then, she didn't stretch his leg out at all. So, I sit there and I looked at him. I'm like, this dude's like 33.5 inches. It's not 32.5. Like, stop. I know you deal with 50,000 kids a day, but give me the presidential treatment. Like, I want, put your hand on his knee, stretch his leg out, put his head where it's supposed to be, and just give me the full measurement. So, actually, Jerry, I think that we got mismeasured by an inch. So whatever that does to the percentile, I don't care. But I want to know how tall my kid is. Obviously, that's going to have a tremendous effect on his life. But I digress. Along with the appointment, he actually had to get two shots today, and then we elected to get the flu shot as well. So there's a lot of stuff going around. We think that based on the research we've done, that that will ultimately help combat that a little bit. And it's so he has about 2 weeks before that really kicks in, and then hopefully he's good. But other than that, talking nonstop, and I mean nonstop, kind of like dad. He was FaceTiming with his grandparents today, and randomly just started like yelling, but like excited and nice. For a long period of time, which he probably gets from me too. Walking literally everywhere. That's definitely the preferred method of movement. But he's a little bit past this, but earlier in the week, it seemed like he was in the awkward phase where he was trying to start walking faster, borderline running, but he kept stumbling. So he had like three different falls that were bad, like all the same day. So he had he basically bit his lip on one fall. His lip was black for like 3 days. He bit the underneath his lip. This is all on the same day. So he had like a scar and it was bleeding there. And then he bumped his head at my parents' house and like had something on his forehead. So you got to get used to that. They're going to fall. That's kind of how they learn. But some of them are a little worse than others. And then last thing, he's officially off bottles.
Officially, okay.
No more bottles for Bryce. Everything's in either a cup with a straw or a sippy cup. No more bottles. So no more washing those things. We've moved on to washing other types of cups. How was you guys' week?
Our week started kind of like you just mentioned. We had our 1 year appointment, so 12-month appointment. Which, by the way, that's a whole ordeal. I'll kind of go into it here. But you were talking about percentiles. That's actually what I was just trying to look up, because we've kind of gone on quite the journey. You know, she started super, super small, like second percentile for like weight and stuff. She was 59th percentile in height, 56th percentile in weight, and 54th percentile in head. So she's like right in the middle of everything.
She's growing.
Yeah, so she's growing. She's doing good there. But Brandon, man, they do a lot that 1 year appointment. They take some blood, which... And I'll give the doctors credit or the assistants or whoever it is that takes it. But they had like a vial that wasn't working. And I tell you, they were trying to take this little vial of blood from Peyton for like 5 minutes. And it should have taken 20 seconds. And it was starting to make me mad. And I will tell you, though, Peyton was a trooper. She was uncomfortable, but she wasn't crying. And so that was keeping me calm. But one, nobody wants to see their kid in pain. And two, I don't do well with blood, as you know, Brandon. So I was getting annoyed. But they got the blood.
Yeah.
Then she had to get 3 shots. And I'll tell you what, we were there over an hour. It was a lot. Peyton, you know, she did good with the blood, but not so great with the shots. She was definitely crying during those. You know, so.
Is it nuts to you how they, like, deliver the shots?
Oh, yeah.
It's like they don't even really care where they put it. They just like, just boom, boom, boom. Here's another spot in the thigh. Boom.
Yeah,
here's,
she's like, the other she thigh, basically
I can't
needs.
Do two on one, three on
yeah,
one.
Yeah, she's like, she needs 6 shots. We'll do 3 now, 3 later. And I'm like, okay. But the good news is she didn't get a temperature. She didn't get a fever or anything from it. She actually wasn't too cranky afterwards. So wasn't too bad. But that's kind of how our week started. And then I'll tell you what, Brandon, I know we've said this a lot, but she's kind of at the age right now where she, this is far and away my favorite right now. She is hilarious. This kid is weird, and she is goofy, and she's having today she was kind of cranky. She only had one nap, but other than today, she's been really, really happy lately. But I mean, this kid, she's smart too. She like can point your nose out now. She knows what you're talking about. She's trying to mimic everything. Today she was trying to put a bandana on Raja because she saw that we did it for pictures. I mean, she's freaking goofy though. And cracks herself up, cannot get close enough to the dog. Like, I mean, she is always laying all over this dog, and Raja's just an angel and takes it. But I mean, like, I don't even know what she's doing to the dog half the time. She, like, throws her head into the dog's head and then, like, does, like, a somersault on her and then, like, lays back. And she just wants to, like, look at books and read all day. She's just goofy. But on the walking front, I think we're getting close, man. She doesn't like to be held up to stand. I've talked about this before, but she stood for very long periods of time, like 10, 15 seconds lately, and then she's starting to like to use the walker more. So I tried. It's hilarious. I got to show you this video, Brandon, but she's walking with the walker all through my hallway, and I'm like, I'm going to trick her. I'm going to hold the ball and see if she'll come walk to me, because she's stuck at the end of a hallway, right, on the walker. And so I hold it off to the side, and this kid figures out how to move the walker sideways to walk towards me. And I was like, well, I can't even be mad about it. But there's a couple times when I've held the toy when she's standing with support, and she's kind of moved towards what I'm holding and kind of taken a step. Now she's fallen both times. But she's starting to at least attempt to make that step. And what she hasn't had any interest in until the last few days. So I think we're really, really close. She can stand, like I said. She can walk super fast along things. So now it's just getting the confidence. Once it happens, man,
they just take off.
Yeah, so we're close.
Like, at the stage that you're talking about right now, to he took those first steps, and it was full-blown, like, walking within, like, a week.
So yeah, she's
it's fun. Like, people say, be careful what you wish for. It is great. It's great.
No, we're excited. I mean, I think she's, like I said, I think she's really close. Like I said, it's been fun, though. She cracks herself up, like, on a daily basis, and she's learning so much. And honestly, knock on wood, but she's been great with sleep lately. Like, super easy going down. And I know I'm jinxing myself, but super easy going down. Sleeping till the morning. The only issues we've had is she's still got a cough, so she'll cough herself awake sometimes. But usually she goes right back to bed herself, too. But she's been really good on the sleep front, and she's just been good. The only maybe one negative, and it's not really a negative, but we started switching to whole milk, like slowly transitioning to whole milk instead of formula in the breast milk. And it's gone fairly well, but she hasn't like finished bottles like she normally does. And then she's also like seems to not be eating as much the last week or so. So I don't know if she's because she's still a little sick or something, but her appetite has seemed kind of off. It's weird. Sometimes she's super hungry, and other times she just doesn't have interest in eating. So
that might just be a baby thing. Because I'm telling you, this kid Bryce, I think Kelsey might at some point she might throw him out the window because she'll spend like half an hour on his food, and then he just decides he doesn't want any of it, and he loved it 2 days before.
Yeah, so, Peyton just wants what we eat. We make something special for her, and she wants what you eat, or you feed her first. You're like, okay, I'm going to feed you first so then I can actually eat afterwards. You feed her a huge meal. She eats it all. And then you have food. And then she's whining because she can't have some of yours too. And you're like, what? You just ate an entire whatever it is. And so I don't know. I will tell you, she loves bread so much and cheese.
Bryce does
bread and cheese a weird amount. So, like, you get pizza and it's game over. But
grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese, she loves. And she just loves bread, man. It's crazy. She could eat bread all day, smash some bread. But no, it's been great. She's been a lot of fun hanging out with. And like I said, she's just every day I'm like figuring out new things she can do. But she's pointing a ton. I know Bryce kind of was in that stage, but like she's pointing all the time. And my favorite thing is I was teaching her how to show her nose forever. Like, I mean, she was like 2 months and I'm like, nose, and I'm pointing at her nose. And now she like totally gets it, but she thinks it's awesome when she does it. So you'll be like, where's my nose? And she'll point to it, and she just starts dying laughing. And that's great because it's like, yes, all the 1 year of work has finally paid off, and she's got nose down, so we'll have to go to something else. But it's been a good week, Brandon.
The stage when they like can start making themselves laugh, and it's like the dumbest stuff that they're making themselves laugh about is hilarious. Because, I mean, there may be I don't know what sound is better than, like, any kid their age laughing. Oh, man, and the Pistons just beat the Heat, so turn up by, like, 20. Dang. Was not expecting to see that headline come through.
And the Wings won today. I mean, they got a lot of good stuff going on sports-wise.
It's a good Michigan sports week. One thing I did forget to mention in this week, and then I'll go to my baby gear, is he is at definitely a parroting stage. So I don't know when that technically is supposed to start. I looked it up, but have to be very, very careful. This is like when you need to start being very careful what you say around.
Or have on
your
the
kids
TV.
Or what they're listening to. Yep. Because he will say what you are saying. or make a sound that's similar to what you're saying. And there are more and more words that he understands the context to. I think I was watching the Pistons game a little bit earlier. I or Kelsey said go, like, excitedly. He said go right back. Like, it's just little stuff like that you gotta watch out for, especially when grandparents are watching. Because the last thing I want him to do is say something that I didn't mean to say in front of my mom and dad.
There you go. Yeah, so. Peyton's at the stage where she has full-blown conversations and none of it makes any sense. But she definitely knows what she's saying to herself. Oh, it's great. Yeah. But she, like, oh, man, she talks.
I just can't wait. Like, when does it flip? And when does it turn into something you can, like, where you understand, like, 40% of it?
Correct.
And then 60%.
Do you ever just sit back and just wonder, like...
They absolutely think that they're talking.
Oh, yeah, but you ever just, like, wonder what they're trying to say? Like, I'll just sit there and be like, what are you saying? She's so animated about it, too. And she'll, like, look at you with her hands and everything, and you're like, none of that's words. not even, dude, no.
What is crazy to me is I always, like, parents always seem to know what their kids talking about, like, even if you don't, as, like, an outsider looking at it. And I absolutely can understand how that is now. Because there are times, mm-hmm. and I could just be in my head and be wrong, but, like, I feel like I absolutely know what his point is or what he's trying to say when he's saying something. It may be the way he looks at me, the way his hand moves or whatever, but and he's not even saying anything that makes sense right now. So we'll ultimately see.
That'll be good. So what's your baby gear, Brandon?
I got a couple things. One was something that I mentioned in the past that miraculously showed up at my door. Because I did say, I told Kelsey I wanted to get this for him for Christmas. But I just hadn't made my mind up to actually spend the money on it. But it's the you and I both have the Nugget couch. Mm-hmm. One thing Nugget doesn't make is a chair / 2-in-1 slide chair, which the members mark through Sam's Club. They have the Nugget dupe, but they also have that. So it's a 2-in-1 slide chair, and this kid loves this more than a Nugget right now because it's more his side. So it basically has almost like a lazy boy type chair that doesn't rock. And then it comes with an ottoman, but the ottoman will flip into an actual slide, which is slick on one end. So you put it at the top of the chair and slide down. I mean, he's been sliding down after the last 2 days. We set it up end of the day yesterday. And it's been, he's gotten more joy out of that than he's gotten with the Nugget so far, but they'll kind of go hand in hand. He can climb up on that. Not quite as expensive as a Nugget either. So it's that's something that's been really, really good. And then in the holiday spirit, we bought him a, we're not putting up a real tree this year. Just, we already went through that in the previous episode, but we bought him a, step two, my first Christmas tree. So it's kind of a plastic Christmas tree for babies. Has like a star on top. You spin it, it sings to you. Has like little ball ornaments, stuff like that.
We have it, Brandon.
And a train track on the bottom.
Oh, we have
it.
Up.
You know,
I hate
it.
That tree.
I hope I didn't steal your baby.
I hate that
why
tree.
Do you hate the, why do you
no,
hate that
you
tree?
No, you didn't. I hate that
why?
Tree. I will tell you why I hate that tree.
Tell us why.
Macy bought that tree like before Peyton was ever born, I think. And she had it set up in our living room last year. And I kid you not, I don't know if you've experienced this yet, but if you walk near that thing, it will go off. It, like, you don't have to touch it or do nothing. And this thing would go off loud as all get out. And back when Peyton was first born,
I actually have not experienced that at all.
Yeah. So then Peyton wouldn't sleep, you know, which we're going to talk about here shortly.
There has to be different settings.
And I swear that thing would go off like 10 times a day. I'd get so mad at that dumb tree. So now it's fine. It's up and it's all good. But last year when Peyton was like a few weeks old or a month old when Christmas was, and that thing would go off in the middle of the night or when she was sleeping during the day, I'd get so mad at that dumb tree. But we have it. Peyton loves the train. She loves to play with the train on it. So the ball's a little bit like the ornaments, but like the train she thinks is great. So she has that, and she has like her actual tree I talked about last week in her room with the actual ornaments. But she does play with that in her playroom. But man, that tree used to go off, and I get so mad. Macy,
I haven't
like,
seen that thing go off on its own one time. You guys might have a defective
we
tree.
We have a defective one. I almost took the batteries out of that thing. I almost pulled the dad move and took the batteries out of it. That's funny.
You really sound hurt about this tree.
I was.
I'm going to go downstairs and stomp around a little bit once we stop recording to see if I can make it happen.
Let me know. So I got a piece of baby gear. So Peyton's birthday was recent, Brandon, as you know. And her godfather, my brother, her uncle Nick, couldn't come because he lives in Seattle. but he sent gifts from afar, and the gifts he got her are something called squigs, if you look it up. It's called squigs, and they're kind of weird, but they're kind of cool. S-Q-U-I-G-Z. And what they are is they're like little shapes with little suction cups on the end of them, and you can stick them together and like stick them to objects, and apparently kids love them. That's what he had heard, so that's why he bought them for Peyton, and he was right. Peyton thinks they're pretty awesome and also entertaining as a parent. I was having fun building things with them, and then I'd hand them to Peyton. She thought they were great, and it's not very expensive on Amazon for a bucket of them. It's $26.95. And like I said, they're kind of cool. The nice thing, too, for parents is they suction cup to surfaces. So you can suction cup them to, like, a high chair or to a table and stuff, and you might not lose some of your toys. But you can, like I said, you can kind of stack them on top of each other, build different things, and they're kind of fun. So it was a toy he sent us, and he said that his – I think his girlfriend told him that kids love them, and so he's like, all right, I'll do it. And we played with them, and Peyton did love them, so – kind of a cool toy, something fun. We'll definitely play more with them, but I never heard of that before, so it's definitely.
I hadn't either.
Yeah,
and what's annoying about this podcast is that
we
always mention stuff, and this actually looks cool. I can see him like building like a little arch in his bath.
Yeah,
because these would definitely suck into the bath.
They do,
and you can like build it from one to the other.
Mm-hmm. Well,
one side to the other.
On Amazon, 8,625 reviews, 4.8. So. It's definitely, people seem to like them. But like you said, bath,
you
table.
You know how Jerry loves his reviews.
I do, but I didn't buy this. This was my brother, so I'll give him credit. But that's our baby gear. And the nice thing too, Brandon, and I'm a big fan of this, you can, those are easily packed and easily stored. You know, like it's not like bulky. You can throw a few of them in the diaper bag. You don't have to get them all out, but if you want to, like there's a lot of things you can do with it. So that's kind of cool. Something that I like learning about things that I didn't know about either. So definitely a toy that I hadn't seen before. So I was excited when we got them, and so far a hit.
They look like it. I think it's time for a topic, Jerry.
I think you're right. And so today's topic is sleep training, which I'll be honest with you, Brandon. Sleep training is a phrase that I had never heard of until I became a parent. It's just something that, you know, it's not something I was familiar with. I had definitely heard of people saying, oh, you gotta let your babies cry it out, or other people saying, oh, you absolutely can't let your kids cry it out. And it's kind of funny because people tend to associate cry it out and sleep training hand in hand. And in my experience and in my opinion, they're nothing alike. I think that's not even on the same face of the earth. It's not even close to each other. You know, I did a lot of research on this, and I'll kind of go through my journey. Basically, before Peyton was born, I always thought, like, yeah, we're not going to let Peyton cry if she's upset. We're going to take care of her, you know, and we'll figure out the sleeping thing. Well, Peyton was colicky, and for a long time, she would not go to sleep no matter what, and she wouldn't go to sleep in her bassinet or crib. And so for a long time, the only way she would sleep is if she slept in bed with us, which is not great. That's not super safe. That's not what you want. But she legitimately would not sleep unless she had like that skin-to-skin contact. So that kind of, when that happens, you start doing tons of research and trying to figure out ways that you can get some sleep yourself, help your baby sleep. Because the baby not to get sleep is not healthy for them. For you not to get sleep is not healthy for you. It also doesn't help you be a better parent if you're tired all the time. So you start doing tons of research and things, and then you come across, obviously, sleep training. And sleep training basically are different methods that you can install to help your baby self-soothe and go to sleep themselves, so they don't need you to constantly rock them or hold them or wake up 10 times in the middle of the night to feed them or anything else to put them to sleep. They can kind of put themselves to sleep. That's the theory behind it. And they tell you that the best time to start sleep training, if you're going to do it, is 4 to 6 months. So initially, after Peyton was kind of colicky, Macy actually, surprisingly, was kind of the one who was like, maybe we should do some sleep training. And I was kind of the one who was like, I don't know. I wasn't there yet. Then more time went by. I was kind of like, hey, we need to do some sleep training. And Macy kind of was like, I don't know about it. And so we did a bunch of research, but we both kind of were like, on the fence, I guess. And we decided if we were going to do some sleep training, we were going to do the Ferber method. And the Ferber method basically states that you do your normal routine, you put your baby to bed, and then at first, you're going to basically put the baby down drowsy after you rock them or read them a story, what your normal bedtime routine is, put them in bed. And then if they're still awake after 2 minutes and crying or upset or anything, you're going to go in and you're going to console them, but not for more than like 30 seconds to 2 minutes. And you're not going to pick them up. You're usually going to do it by patting their back, their butt, rubbing their head, talking to them, and keeping them in their crib. And you're going to do this for every 2 minutes. And then you're going to gradually go to 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and you're going to keep doing this until the baby eventually falls asleep. And the theory is over time and over days, the baby will eventually learn to help put themselves to sleep. So you're not letting them just cry on end. You're going in there until they do fall asleep, and you're not doing long distances. You're doing short distances and gradually getting longer and longer. And then also, if your baby's sick, you don't do this. Or if your baby's like your baby wasn't hungry or dirty, you don't do stuff like this. Or if it's in the middle of the night after the baby slept for a couple hours and now they're upset, you don't do it. You do it, again, at the bedtime routine. You also do it naps to kind of get them used to it. So anyways, we were kind of talking about doing the sleep training, and we hadn't really decided on a date because we wanted to have a period where we were both home to do it, because it can be kind of a crazy experience. And Macy one day randomly just looked at me and said, "Let's start sleep training tonight." And I was like, "Really?" So we did it. And I'll be honest with you, Brandon, that first night was tough. She probably took about an hour and a half to 2 hours in total to go to bed. We checked on her 20 times, but she did eventually go to bed. And then by day two, I think it was maybe 45 minutes. And after that, it was like we'd have to check on her or go back in the room maybe once. And it changed our lives. I won't lie to you. It completely changed our lives because we started getting more sleep. She started getting more sleep. We were in better moods. And it just, I mean, it was a game changer for us. So it was very, very positive for us. And honestly, the first night was kind of tough, but after that, it was never that bad for us. Now, I don't want to act like we did this and everything was perfect from there on out. I'll kind of go into, you know, some theories of that a little bit later on. But that was kind of why we decided to do it. We decided on the Ferber method because we did a lot of research. And basically, the research that we found said that that's kind of usually one of the better methods, and that it actually, we read, is good for the kid to help learn to self-soothe, that there's zero negative effects on them long-term, and that basically it's healthy, and it's better for the kid and better for the parents in the long run if that's something you choose. Now, every kid's different. It's not a one-size-fits-all, but that was where we wanted to start, and it worked for us. So that's kind of our journey. There's a lot more that goes into that, but I'll kind of let you kind of talk about your journey, and then we can go into more details, Brandon.
Yeah, and ours was obviously a little bit different than you guys. We did go through a stretch that was, I mean, when he hit about 4 months, between 4 and 5 months, and I think if you listen back to the podcast, that's when I was debating. I'd wake up, or he'd wake me up, and I'm looking like, am I about to buy like some expensive fix-all that'll last a month and a half, but maybe get me some sleep? And that kind of brings me to the point I wanted to start with. You, as a parent, you can be made to feel bad one way or the other, depending on who has an opinion. Ultimately, you have to kind of know your child, and I would say to a degree, go with your gut on what you feel like is best for your child. There's a bunch of different methods, and what we were researching, there are 5 different methods for sleep training specifically. What we technically did, I don't think is a sleep training method, but ultimately kind of what it came down to is he stayed in a bassinet in our room until he was about 8 to 9 months old, which was a blessing and a curse. I do still at times like miss him being in our room. It's kind of like I felt like it was a cool bonding experience. Oftentimes towards the end, we had brought him straight over to our bed, or straight over next to our bed. But what we were doing towards the end of that 8 or 9 months, once we knew we were going to start transitioning him to his crib, which is on the other side of our upstairs, we were doing naps and playtime in his crib, basically. So he got really comfortable. It was a comfortable, fun place for him to be. And ultimately, that made the transition to the crib fairly easy. And I'm kind of going to, before I finish with what our process was, from why we didn't necessarily go with the full-on sleep training, a couple things, research we saw, as well as just real world talking to people who we knew who had kids that were a little bit ahead of Bryce. It seems that, one, sometimes when you sleep train, oftentimes you'll have to retrain, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but that is something that will potentially come up. Bryce, from our view, is an incredibly strong-willed, and I don't know. I feel like there may have been more of a fight than we would have wanted to initially put up anyway. And then we also look at a lot of the waking up, being hungry at night to get a feed, stuff like that, as honestly developmentally normal. If you look at, and this, what I'm saying is not poo-pooing sleep training. Like I said, to start, like, this is, everybody kind of has their opinion on it, but it does seem to be really, really prevalent in the U.S., and not so popular outside of the U.S. And that could be because of the short maternity leave that you have, where sometimes it's necessary. As a parent, you kind of got to get it however you need to. And for a lot of people, this is like a functional or functionality thing. And if we were having extreme issues with him sleeping, like if it was like it was for that month 4 and maybe month 5 the entire time, we probably would have figured out a way to sleep train him. But for us, it just ultimately wasn't, it never got to the point where it was that, to the point where we felt like we needed to do that. So ultimately, we introduced him to the crib after we had made it a comfortable place for him. As a part of that, our bedtime routine is pretty much exactly the same every single night. So we have a changing station in his room, do the same thing every time there. We read him a book in the rocking chair before he goes into his crib. That's the same every time. Oftentimes with me, it's the exact same book too. It's the Cat in the Hat. Lights go off. We turn on a sound machine that has white noise. He's in a sleep sack. So he's comfortable, and we sing the same, like we have 3 songs basically for bedtime that signify bedtime for him. And that seems, that seems to be something that the consistency has worked. He still has nights where he wakes up in the middle of the night. Typically, it's only once. But after about 12 months, which may seem like a long time, depending on kind of how you look at it, but he was pretty consistently sleeping through the night. Unless he's sick, and which unfortunately has happened more than we wanted it to, or unless he got shots or something like that. But that's honestly been our process. It may sound fairly easy. While he's in the crib, we make sure that there are multiple pacifiers if he needs it. He has a lovey, which I didn't know that's what that thing was called until I started going over this with Kelsey. But it's basically like it's like a cloth with, he has a pacifier at the end of it. They're supposed to associate with it and makes him feel comfortable. I don't know. He just started like getting into that thing. We put a water bottle in his crib as well, in case he gets thirsty. And then the trusty little fish aquarium, I think that you talked to us about, that's hanging up there. And I can't tell you how many times I'll wake up to that thing being on and him back asleep in his crib, because he would have just hit the little star, turned it on, it kind of soothed him and put him right back to sleep. But that's our method.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned a couple of things, Brandon. Like, one, consistency is key. They tell you that if you're going to do sleep training, or even if you don't, you want to have a similar bedtime routine. And that is something that you really, really want to do. So whether it's bath time and, you know, book, story, bed, whatever it is, it's what you want to try to do. Also, they say you try to want to not nurse them if you're nursing, or even if you're giving them formula, you don't want to give them it necessarily right before bed, because then they associate eating and sleeping. And if for whatever reason you don't, then they don't want to sleep. That's just what people say. I'm not going to say we never did do that, because we definitely did, but that's what they'll tell you to do. But consistency is key. You want to keep the same routine. And if you are sleep training, it's important to have the same routine leading to bedtime. And then again, it's important to have that consistency through the process. So if you're doing the process, you got to make sure your wife's doing the same process and the babysitters are doing the same process, or grandparents or whoever's watching the kids during naps and stuff. So the baby knows that's what happens. And they can figure out.
If you don't remember anything, that is the number one thing I'd say to remember, no matter what.
Consistency is super key. And then, you know, you mentioned retraining. We started a little after 5 months, and we had great success, and we've throughout the whole process, now she's just over a year, we had to kind of redo it just a couple months ago, but not really. It just, we got to the point where if she was crying when she went to bed, or like wasn't sleeping well, unless she, again, she was sick or something, something was wrong, right? So we never really worried about it because she was so good, and like we knew something was wrong. But then it was all of a sudden like, I don't know if anything's wrong again. So it started getting to the point where it's like, okay, is she kind of reverting? Is something going on? So then we started kind of to almost redo the Ferber process, but like not in full. It was more like kind of like, hey, instead of like the second she started crying, jumping in there, give her a minute or two. And actually after a few days, she was pretty much back to normal. So I don't know if it was redoing the whole process, but we had to kind of almost check ourselves, because we got so used to the fact that like now, because like after you sleep train them, now she cries, we go in there right away because something's wrong. Because she'll, like, most of the time when I put her down now, because they tell you also to put them down drowsy, which we used to make fun of all the time, but it's actually at the point now where I can do that. I put her down, she's drowsy, she'll look up at me as I'm leaving the room, but then she puts herself to sleep. Cause in she's okay with it, where she wasn't for forever. So, that's kind of what you want, is you want them to be okay putting themselves to sleep, or in the middle of the night, if they wake up, instead of crying, she puts herself back to sleep unless something is wrong, which is good too as a parent. Cause now I know if she's crying, something is up. And that's why you run up there and you're like, okay, diaper, are you hungry? Do you have a fever? Are you cold? What's going on? Cause 99% of the time now, she's at the point where if she's good, she's just going to go right back to sleep. And that's
what's interesting to me about that is I feel like Bryce almost learned that on his own, because we didn't put him to bed drowsy. You and I made fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
It started working for you. That never worked. Like, yeah, you in the beginning when we actually were putting him in when we're putting him in his crib, like if I put him down, quote unquote, drowsy. And I tried.
Oh, I tried too.
That kid would just—he'd sit right back up, look at me, and look like, "Bruh, you need to pick me back up. We need to go to sleep, and then you can put me down." But over time, it turned into he would wake himself up in the middle of the night, and then he'd be able to put himself back to sleep. And I think he almost learned it on his own that way. I haven't had issues I pretty much put him down drowsy every night now.
Right,
and so that it's kind of interesting to me that you have, and this is something to pay attention to as you're listening. I think you and I both would characterize our kids as pretty, like, overall, like, very happy kids. You got two completely different ways to go about it. There are some things that stay consistent between us, though. And that is consistency. We do the same thing pretty much every time. Bryce goes to bed at pretty much the same time. And then, having good communication with who is watching him during the day on naps is very key to making sure your nighttime routine is going to go well.
Yep. And we mentioned other methods. So some of the other methods, you know, that we talked about is there's the, chair method, which basically you put your baby to sleep, but you stay in the chair until they're like actually asleep. So if you put them in the crib, you're going to sit there, you're going to be in the chair, and then you can get up when they kind of wake up and kind of stay by their bed until they're completely asleep. They call it the chair method. And there's different versions of all these methods, by the way. Even the Ferber method, which has been around for a long time, he's changed some things on the Ferber method, which I'll go into in a second. But the chair method's one. There's the bedtime fading method, which basically you're supposed to pay attention to, like, sleep cues and try to basically put them down based on, like, their sleep cues instead of, like, a time type of thing. And you're supposed to, like, gradually change that to kind of fit your schedule. So that's another method. And then there's obviously there's a cry it out method, which I did a lot of research. And I'll be honest, this is just what I saw of all sleep training. The only one that kind of there's some science that might not be the greatest for your kid is if you just do straight cry it out. And again, pretty much everything I ever read says it's okay from time to time to have your baby cry for 5 to 10 minutes without you consoling them. But if you don't console them ever, it can potentially instill some bad habits in them. And later on, you can have issues with that. So that's why for us, we weren't comfortable with that. But like the Ferber method, we never really let her cry for more than like 10 minutes, like ever. So, you know, we were still going in there, still letting her know, hey, it's okay. And because again, the Ferber method, like I said, there's actually some science out there that says it's good for your kids. Other people say it's neither here nor there. There's actually people that say that sleep training in general is just kind of made up, like that kids are kind of what kids are. And like, it's almost like just in parents' head, and that their kids are incapable of learning sleep training. It's funny. Like, there's people that will say that. There's also people that like swear by it too. And the important thing to remember though, is every kid is different. Even Dr. Ferber, who made the Ferber method, said like, hey, this exact method does not work for everyone. And even though he recommends certain things, he goes, you might have to do this variation. So you don't have to sit the exact same time. It might be a shorter time frame for you. It might be slightly longer for you. It might take a few days. It might take a week or two. You might have to stop, wait a week or two, and come back to it. You might be the parent who's, you're not supposed to really take them out of the crib, but maybe you do. You do have to pick them up from time to time. There's different things that happen. You have to know your own kid. And that was one thing that we were comfortable too with the Ferber method, is they basically, he said that like, if you're doing it for 4 or 5 days and it's not getting better, stop. Don't keep just doing it. They're not ready for it. Yeah. And so like, you know, in reading about it, and what I did is I honestly read a bunch of people who actually did these different methods, like their perspectives. So not like just some expert trying to push something, but an actual people and a ton of people I read about like their success with like the Ferber method and kind of their journey and what they experienced. And ours was kind of similar, you know, and it was, you know, the first night's going to be rough, but you got to be consistent to that schedule. You got to have your patterns, and then you should start seeing progress within 2 to 3 days. And if you don't, that's when you need to look at a few things. And for us, honestly, like I said, day two, definitely day three, it was huge success, but it's different for everyone. I also read people that didn't have success. So, again, knowing your kid, looking at different little tweaks you can do out there and variations of the different methods help too. What other methods did you read about, Brandon, when you were kind of doing research?
The only other one that I don't think we've hit on directly, but kind of did indirectly, is the pickup put down method.
Yep.
And I almost would categorize like that, the fading method and the chair method, fairly similar, because they kind of involve a little back and forth from the parent's perspective. Basically, like the baby is comforted like intermittently while they're trying to fall asleep, but parent is nearby ready to intervene at any time. With the pickup put down is, I mean, I literally could just tell you that that's the method, and you kind of know what it is. Your kid starts crying, you pick them up, console them, put them back down. It's as simple as that, which is what's interesting to me. And do your own research on all of these methods. I think that as I look back, we've kind of done a combination of everything, including cry it out. Like there's been nights where Bryce was like, for whatever reason, everything's fine. Like no fever, hasn't been sick. You try to rock him to sleep. You try to put him down, pick him up. We try our version of the chair method, 'cause we got a chair in the nursery. And sometimes we let him, I can't necessarily speak for Kelsey, but I've let him cry for 5-10 minutes at a time, which is a fervor, like to see what you try up. You try different things, especially at 3 o'clock in the morning when you want to go to bed.
You need to for your own sanity at some points, you know?
So the cool thing is that each of these methods, you can find a way, or basically you can find research that says that they each of these will individually work, but there may be a time that you need to use one tool from one method and one tool from another. The Ferber to me is like a combination of the pick up, put down, and cry it out, to a degree. Now, cry it out it wasn't something we were willing to do, because it is straightforward as well in the name. You put them down. Once they're in the bed, you don't come back. And you basically leave them to fall asleep on. You might as well put a movie and some headphones in and not even turn your baby monitor on. Right. You're not going back in that room.
Well, and you kind of mentioned the cry it out, but and not to cut you off, Brandon, but one thing that I read that was kind of, wasn't necessarily our experience, but I thought was interesting is a lot of people associate sleep training with like crying, I guess some variation of it, right? And your baby doesn't have to cry a lot during sleep training, or it have to be associated with crying at all, honestly. Your baby just might not go to sleep, and that might not be because it's crying or screaming. It's just still awake, you know? And so just because your baby's not crying doesn't mean that you necessarily don't need to sleep train or shouldn't sleep train, or that, you know, there isn't things you should be doing to help them go to sleep. So, you know, you don't have to hear a ton of crying in order to be successful at sleep training or to need to sleep train. I guess it's kind of something that I'll say. And then, like I said, sleep training itself isn't necessarily just like a cry it out method. It just means, like I said, kind of helping the baby figure out a way to self-soothe versus just you. And then also it's not a cure-all. That's another thing I want to touch on. Just because you do sleep train, one, certain methods might not work for you. Other methods might, or none of them might for a while. But even if it does work, it's not like, hey, we did it, and then all of a sudden Peyton never woke up in the middle of the night. You can listen back to the podcast. That's not true at all. Now, was it a million times better than it was beforehand? Yes. Does she still have nights where she was awful? Absolutely. Does she still have, you know, periods? Like, she's going through a leap. She's teething. But most of the time, there was something to it. But she definitely went through periods. And even, like I said, the one time we didn't really know why, you know, she definitely went through periods where she still definitely didn't sleep well. But it was overall much, much better. And I think for us, what was nice, too, is we became more comfortable with how to handle bedtime. We were no longer afraid of it as much because it was like, okay, we're going to have this routine. This is how we're going to handle it. And if this is the way she is, this is what we're going to do. And we have a reason to believe in that because it has worked in the past. So, you know, when things do get frustrating, typically we can kind of rely back on that method and it works if nothing else is wrong with her. So, you know, it definitely changed the game for us, but it wasn't an easy decision to come to. And like I said, it was definitely a learn as we went kind of process. And still, you know, like I said, we still are learning. But, you know, right now she's a fairly good sleeper, knock on wood. And she's can pretty much self-soothe and be comfortable in her bed unless something is wrong without having to need mom or dad, which is a win. And I think a good thing that you want for your kid. Even in mornings, she will sit and play for a half an hour if you let her. Without crying,
that's always clutch.
Yes.
Yep. And Bryce is the exact same way in the morning. In the morning, he's great. You almost are going in there because you know it's time for him to get up and go eat or whatever. But he is perfectly fine hitting his little aquarium and just playing with his hands and making noises.
Oh, they make some funny noises. Sometimes it's just fun to watch them. Like you're ready to get up, but you're just enjoying watching them.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it's good. So I think it's a good topic, Brandon. Definitely, if you're someone struggling, do some research, talk to your partner. You got to make sure you're both comfortable with it, too, because if you're comfortable and they're not, it's not going to work. So you got to be on the same page, you know, try something out. And if you're trying it out and you're like, I don't like this, that's okay. Stop, you know, maybe go to plan B or you know, figure out where you want to go from there. But it's definitely, you know, do research. I will tell you, like I said, I did a lot myself, and there's definitely a lot of opinions out there, but scientifically speaking, from what I've read, if you're you have a process and you do one of the proven methods, it really, you're not gonna hurt your kid. So it's not like you're gonna do any damage to your kid. Hopefully you're gonna help the kid, you're gonna help yourself. But again, every kid's different too. So just because you try it too doesn't mean it's gonna work for you. So it's definitely something that you got to learn, and sleep's important. So you'll learn that when you're a parent, obviously. I think everyone listening probably knows that. So find what works for you. Find what works for you and your spouse, and works for your kid. And maybe that means none of it. Maybe you don't need to do it too. Like, I got friends that my kid always slept great. Well, they don't need a sleep train. Their kids just slept great. That's good. And then other people, their kids never slept well, no matter what they did. So it doesn't, it's not a one size fit all. And just because something worked for me or worked for Brandon doesn't mean it'll work for you. But something might work for you that didn't work for us. So that's okay. But you know, you gotta do what's best for everyone in the household. That makes sense. Right, Brandon?
Makes perfect sense.
I like it. So why don't you take us home with a good dad joke?
I will. One thing, and I had to leave early from work yesterday, Jerry, as you know. So you haven't seen me there yesterday or today, and it's because I got hospitalized due to a peekaboo accident. They had to put me in the ICU.
I used that joke, Brandon.
No, you didn't.
I swear.
Hey, I'm blaming Kelsey on this, bro.
I phrase it different. I didn't have the same setup as you, but I knew it. And it was one of the early ones, I want to say, I used, because I thought it was hilarious. So I will give you props.
Hey. Yeah. Kelsey, you going to be... I'm not even going to say anything to her, like, tomorrow. Because she's going to ask me how the joke went. She normally just listens on her. And she has a long drive. She's going to be in Canada for the next 2 days for work. But... yeah, Kelsey, you set me up for failure. We had a conversation about this.
I think I almost used a joke you used. Did you use the joke where it's like, what kind of bees make milk?
Yeah, I did use
that. Yeah, see, I almost used that joke, and I was like, I think, Brandon, it's boobies.
I wish you would have. Boobies, yeah, I did.
I was like, Brandon, use that joke. That was one of our PG-13 jokes. Correct, so... I almost did it.
I don't remember you using this joke.
Yeah, I did, because I thought it was hilarious. It was early. It was one of the earlier ones.
I will say, she has bragged. Anytime I've done it, she was like, it's because you didn't get the joke from me. Every time you get the joke from me, it's
Kelsey.
A better joke. And, hey,
sorry,
part of
Kelsey.
Me is kind of happy that this happened.
When we first started setting it up, I was like, no, I haven't used this. But then as you, I was like, oh, nope, I did use this one. This is a clever joke, though. I see you. I like it. Well, Brandon,
we need to come up with a Google Doc of all the jokes we've already done so we can reference keywords.
We probably do. That's a good idea.
Control F.
That is a good
control idea. Control F ICU.
But for all you guys listening, if you haven't liked our social media pages already, please do. Please tell your friends about us and comment. Honestly, today's topic we had been talking about doing for, I don't know, probably 6 months to longer. And then we had a couple people reach out, mention sleep training, and we're like, you know what? We probably should just do that as a topic. So we listen. So definitely.
Yeah, one of them left a really great review as well. And congrats on your upcoming child.
Yes.
It's always good to see that. It just, obviously you and I would be doing this regardless of the reviews and all that, but it is good to see that we're touching people that, I mean, we've talked to a guy in California. We've had people comment from like Washington, D.C. It's all over the country. And it does help.
Well, yeah, we do appreciate it, too. And then reviews are great, so please leave us a review if you haven't. It's funny, Brandon, you mentioned they're expecting. We have a friend that recently had a baby, and it's funny to look back at that stages and kind of that mindset, you know, because it's like you remember it, but at the same time, you also remember people that had kids that were older and kind of things that they said, and now you're thinking the same things. And it's like, oh, gosh, yeah. I was annoyed by that back then, but now I'm annoyed by the opposite of it now. And it's just funny, like, you know, how things change as time goes on. So
I miss the newborn stage, Jerry. How about you?
Yeah, well, you know, there's parts of me that does at times. Macy had a picture she shared on Facebook just the other day that Peyton was like a couple weeks old, and I was like, man, she's tiny. She's getting big. That's the one thing. I tried putting her in 9-month pajamas today, and she's always wearing really small clothes. No, that wasn't fitting. She honestly, she's probably
59th percentile.
Yeah, she's
58, 59.
She's getting big, and stuff. She's starting to be in the clothes she's supposed to be in, which is weird because, like, it makes sense, but, like, mentally I can't wrap my mind around it because she never has been. So now it's like, wow, you're wearing the right clothes instead of – it's not even, like, big for her. It's just, like, the right size, and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. So it's exciting.
Wait till you look up and she's running around a corner, and yeah. You're like, where the heck did this come from?
Yeah.
You're 15 months
I'm
old.
Scared and excited for that. She also is obsessed with – you know how in every, like, kids movie – when there's like little kids around, they always get in the pots and pans. Yeah, it's Peyton. She loves the pots and pans drawer, which is the only drawer I don't have kid proofed. I don't know why, but I don't. And so now we're moving. It's a whole thing, but yeah. But anyways, please leave us a review. Please tell your friends. And, you know, until next time, I'm Jerry, joined here by Brandon, and you've been listening to Dad Jokes.